All right. We think of double portion, first thing that comes to our mind is more. Quantity, right?
Amen.
Double blessing, double fruitfulness, double anointing, more of God's blessings on our life, more of His presence. And that's an aspect of it. But the double portion also is talking about not just quantity, but quality.
Amen.
And this is what I want to talk about this morning. All of us can get on board if we're talking about more. Human nature loves more. Unless it's more dealings, more discipline, we don't want that. But more blessings, yes. But a double portion anointing is a different quality. It deals with two different aspects. First, it deals with healing the injuries that we have that we cannot get over. And then it deals with filling those very areas with God's divine provision and presence. Twofold. Isaiah 61:7 says, "Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion." We read that last week. Heals the shame that we can't get over. And right in that spot where shame was, comes a double portion of God's presence and blessing. We think in terms of ending pain is good enough, right? God, if you bring a healing in my pain, that's great. But when God looks at things, He says, "I want to end your pain, but I want you to have gain in that area."
Amen.
God releases provision to grow right in that area that's been so hurt. 2 Kings 2, we read about Elijah and Elisha. And you remember Elisha, the verse says, "If you see me when I'm taken from you," that's Elijah speaking, "it shall be a double portion for you." Okay, we're going to come back to this later and talk about their situation, but what was the loss here? Well, you got to remember that Elisha, his whole identity up to this point was serving the prophet Elijah. We think of Elisha as just kind of ambitious, wanting that double portion anointing. He suffered a real loss in losing the person he had been serving. And it was for a number of years. Some say 6, some say 10 years. It was quite a while. So there was a loss of someone that he identified with very deeply. But as Elijah was taken up, what took the place of that loss? A double portion of Elijah's spirit. 1 Samuel 1:5, speaking of Hannah, her husband Elkanah, you know, when he would sacrifice, he had two wives, and he gave a double portion blessing to Hannah. Again, that double portion. Hannah was barren, and the other wife, Elkanah's other wife, of course, would torment her about that. So what's this double portion all about? God heals Hannah's barrenness, that thing of deep pain where she couldn't have children. And in that place where there was barrenness comes forth the birthing of a great prophet of God, Samuel. She had more children, didn't she? If you read on, but only one Samuel. See, that's the way God works. That's the double portion. He heals what we can't get over, and by His grace, in that very place, He births something that's divine and supernatural that we could never produce in a million years. Job, fun book to go through, isn't it? Chapter 42, verse 10 says, "The Lord turned Job's captivity when he prayed for his friends. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." What did Job need healing from? Oh my gosh, just read the book, what he went through. I mean, that book is disturbing to me, isn't it? You know, God making a bet with the devil, and, you know, we feel helpless enough on this planet, and just to think that they're wagering a bet to see how long we're going to survive dealings. So Job goes through all this stuff, and remember his friends are trying to counsel him, and they really get themselves into hot water. And you look at that whole thing, what's Job going through? I mean, what's this deep pain? It's like life is not fair. Job is described as a perfect man. Why do you put a man that's living righteously through so much pain and agony? Well, that part of him that couldn't figure out why he had to go through all that, the unfairness of life, God healed. You remember when God met up with him and he has a visitation from God? Job says, "Before I heard of you with my ears, but now I see you. I repent in dust and ashes." Here's this giant hurt. Job going through all these things that didn't make sense. God comes and heals that hurt, but that's not the full extent of the double portion. It's not just healing what he went through. He gives Job twice as much, but I'll tell you what, part of that twice as much is Job had a revelation of the Father that he didn't have before. Amen. We hide from what needs to be healed in our life, don't we?
Amen.
We all want the double portion when it's talking about more. But if we understand that the very nature of the spiritual double portion means areas of have been unhealed, areas of injury and deep hurt, disappointment. God wants to touch with his healing. That's where that double portion goes. The thing about human nature is, grace says open those areas up so you can be whole. But our nature says we're ashamed of them. We got to hide them from God. We try to hide them from the very source that can bring us healing. We have a problem when we can't believe. Nobody likes to talk about this. As believers, you know, we've got to believe God. If we don't get anything else right, we've got to be sure that we're believing. We're not under the law anymore. Isn't that wonderful? What did Jesus say? One thing you got to do, believe in him whom he has sent. Anybody can believe. That's true. But when you've been injured, when you've been disappointed, when you've suffered loss,
that's right.
Sometimes you can't trust the way you want to. Sometimes you sit there and say, God, I want to believe, I want to trust, but I'm just filled with fear. And we run and hide from that. When we can't believe and trust, we need grace, not condemnation. We don't need to hide from God. We need to realize that's what the grace of God is for. 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. I love that verse. We never want to admit to our faithlessness. That's not something we ever want to look at. But even when we fail and we can't believe like we know we should, God is faithful to us. And that double portion is about those areas, those untouched areas that we run from, realizing that the grace of God is in our life to heal those areas and to fill those areas with something from God. The double portion heals our weaknesses, disappointments, inadequacies, areas where there's a lack of trust because of what we've been through and haven't gotten over. Then in those areas, he births the very provision of God. An example of this would be the disciples after the resurrection. They weren't exactly an example of faith, were they? Jesus told them what would happen. They walked with him for 3.5 years. When it happened, they did not believe it. The women go to the tomb. They find Jesus isn't there. They discover that the person they're talking to is not really a gardener. They go, he's risen. Still, no magic transformation for all those guys. Where are they? Hiding behind closed doors, fearful of what could happen to them. They were not moving in faith at that point. We would look at that and say, oh my gosh, that's all they need to do is believe. They should have believed the word of God. They dropped the word. They dropped the vision. How does Jesus relate to it? He comes right through the walls and fellowships with them. This is what grace is all about. We build walls out of fear and unbelief, and we're trying to hide. God's grace penetrates our walls, our fears, our unbelief, our lack of trust, and manifests God's faithfulness to us.
Amen.
That's that double portion anointing. It gets to the untouched areas and then brings something of God to fill those areas of fruitfulness. That's what grace is, isn't it? He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Now, this double portion anointing, let's go back to Elijah and Elisha and kind of describe what this is involving. Because I've done some studies on this. You probably have too. And Elisha had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. What did that mean? They both did a lot of miracles. Elisha, of course, ministered a lot longer than Elijah. I think after when Elijah was taken up, Elisha went on another 60 years. More miracles are recorded. One thing I can point out is Elijah certainly battled depression. Remember when he was running from Jezebel? Elisha, you don't see that, at least not in what's written. So there may have been, you know, more of an anointing. There definitely was more of an anointing there. Also with Elisha, you remember after he died, I think it was almost a year later, they drop a dead man in the grave, and the dead man touches his bones and comes to life. So there was definitely a lot of anointing with that ministry. But to say one had more than the other, I can't say that, because Elijah is the one mentioned in the book of Malachi as being the forerunner before the Lord's coming. The Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are with Jesus, not Elisha. So I don't think we're going to understand what the double portion is simply by looking at, again, quantity, who did the most miracles. I think we need to realize what it meant in those days. Deuteronomy 21:17 talks about the oldest son received as an inheritance double portion. Okay? There were four sons. They all got a portion, but the oldest would get the double portion. If you were a woman, I'm afraid you were not in luck back in those days, unless there were no sons, but that's a whole different time. But just understand that this is about the double portion had to do with inheritance. When Elisha looked at Elijah and said, "I want a double portion of your spirit," what he was saying was, "I want to be your heir." Yes. Now, what happens if he hadn't gotten the mantle? Well, the mantle may have not fallen on anyone. There's no guarantee it's going to go to someone else. Could have been distributed to a lot. There were a lot of other prophets in the land. But Elisha looked at that and said, I want to be the oldest son. I want that double portion inheritance you have for me. And that's really what it's talking about. When we talk about double portion and we want to relate to it, it's talking about us being heirs. So what does it mean to be an heir? A lot of it has to do with our awareness, isn't it? It's not a matter of works, but a matter of what we rightfully have in Him. We get this all mixed up. Some things you have to work for. We're called to be good stewards. Stewards of the gifts that God has given us. We're not supposed to be lazy or passive. So there are things we work at and work for, exercising what God has given us. But some things we have to be like a child and just receive as a gift.
Amen.
Now, if you try to work for what's meant to be a gift, you end up resisting the gift. Mm-hmm. You're not open to receive it. When it comes to being an heir, let's say somebody in the city comes up to you and says, "I'm going to make you my heir. Here's $5 million. Are you going to look and say, "Well, no, I don't deserve that. Wait a minute, I'm going to go work for 20 years and maybe I'll come back after that time and feel I'm worthy of it"? No, you would say, "Thank you very much, head to your bank," right? But why is it with spiritual things we don't seem to do that with God? God says, "You're my heir here." And we say, "Oh, I don't deserve that. No, God, I've got to go back under the law. I've got to torture myself with a bunch of rules and regulations and try real hard. And maybe someday I'll come back and I'll deserve something." Plenty of scriptures about us being heirs in the New Testament. I think there's over 15 places. We're not going there today. Heirs being past tense. We are heirs in Christ, which means, like the oldest son, we are to inherit that double portion anointing from the Lord. It's ours. You don't work for it. It's a gift. We need to have our awareness changed to be able to receive. Galatians chapter 4. And I'm reading this now from the New American Standard. What Bible do I have? And then part of it out of the Amplified, so I'm kind of mixing it up. "As long as an heir is a child, he doesn't differ at all from a slave." Okay, now we're talking about awareness. You're an heir, but if your awareness is that of let's call it the slave mentality, "I've got to work for everything I get from God, I don't deserve anything," then you don't receive the inheritance. Even though it's rightfully yours by relationship, you have it. Your own awareness of being a slave and seeing yourself and identifying yourself that way denies you access to what you already possess. In other words, it's in your bank account, but you can't write the check. You don't believe you can write the check and access it. Verse 3, it says, so when we were minors, we were kept like slaves under rules of Hebrew rituals and a system of external observations and regulations. What's that talking about? The law awareness. Okay, if that is our field of awareness and we're under the law, what is rightfully ours, we don't experience. Again, it's in our bank account, but we don't see it there. And we don't believe we can just write a check and access that money. Jesus purchased our freedom. He redeemed us from the law. As long as we're under that mentality of being slaves, we're in bondage. Jesus paid the price, redeemed us from that, having sonship conferred on us. Now we are recognized as God's sons, no longer a slave, but a son, therefore an heir. What these verses is talking about is a change in the way we think, a change in our awareness. When we're talking about being heirs, it's not that we have to do something to become heirs. Christ made us heirs by his sacrifice. Amen. Done. Complete. Praise God. What we need to see happen is our minds renewed so that we recognize that we are sons. We belong to God. We're in that living relationship with him, not slaves. Remember, Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, from this point on, I call you friends. Okay, we have that relationship with them. In that relationship, we can access what we are heirs to. We can access that double portion anointing and provision that we have. The double portion is your inheritance in Christ. It's what you are ordained to walk in, to experience, to live in, and to have. That's why there's no need for any jealousy, comparing with others. Every person has a unique part in that inheritance. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about God has allotted to each a measure of faith, and we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each spirit has a certain measure of faith and grace. In that is everything that God wants you to inherit. That's your double portion. All we have to do is let that be opened up to us. I think, you remember when John was talking about Jesus and he said, all the books in the world couldn't hold all the things that he did. Have you ever thought about that? I think, he did a lot, but he was human. He lived in a 24-hour day. He lived 33 and a half years. Yes, someone could catalog everything he did. Was John just kind of exaggerating because he did such fantastic things? I don't think he was just trying to pump it up. Again, I think John was referring to the quality of how the Lord moved. The quantity of miracles was one thing. What was the quality? It was the eternal spirit that was flowing through him. When he moved, he demonstrated who the Father was. Amen. All the books in the world can't contain that revelation, how powerful that is, how awesome that is. The double portion anointing we're talking about is in the place of the pain and the place of the hurt. It's not just works that you do, but I think it's that same quality that has eternity in it. The Father himself manifesting through your life. God's heart, God's mind, God's purposes. This is our inheritance. That we can walk this earth and the Father can live and breathe through us. That's the quality John saw in Jesus. And he was saying, there's just no way you can describe this. There's not enough books. There's not the words. We don't have the vocabulary or the thoughts that can really get a handle on what happened through him. All right, just a few more things. In Hebrews 11:8, it says, Abraham obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Okay. Abraham went out to what? A place he was to receive as an inheritance. What are we inheriting? The double portion. Cell phones off. There's an element of faith with this, isn't there?
Yes.
Abraham didn't have to work for it in his inheritance, but there was faith that caused him to step out of the box or his comfort zone, going out where he didn't know where he was going. I think that element is with all of us, and we need to understand it. We talk about inheritance. You say, good, it's a gift. I want the gift. And then you look at all the things being shaken up in your life. You're going, this doesn't seem to fit. No, like Abraham, you've got to step out of the mental conditioning, the fears, the comfort zone. But God, I don't know where I'm going. Yeah, that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. He knows where you're going, and you're trusting Him. So our inheritance is not something we earn, but it definitely, to experience it, we step out and we walk the walk of faith. He leads us in that way. And the last thing is, you remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they would take the manna each and every day. On the sixth day, they got a double portion, right? Why? Because they weren't supposed to pick up the manna on the seventh day, which was the Sabbath. I think this is prophetic for us. There's a Sabbath rest, and I'm not talking about Saturday and just going to a service on Saturday. I mean, in this age that we're coming into, there's going to be a rest where we all cease from our own works.
Amen.
It's all going to be God manifesting His presence. Amen. His way, His power, His resources.
Yes.
Now, in preparation for this day, we call it the day of the kingdom, the days of His presence, there's a double portion anointing that's going to be upon the people. We'll be gathering that spiritual food for 2 days. Why? It's needed for the Sabbath rest being established on the earth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, there therefore remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself rested from his works as God did from his. So that double portion anointing for all of us as we access our inheritance is not just a nice thing if we can do it. I think it's necessary for what God is birthing in the earth. Let's be aware of what He's given us. Let's be aware that the areas that we run from, God wants that anointing to touch and bring healing to. That He wants to birth things in us that are just so of His Spirit. Our minds can't comprehend it. Our minds can't figure it out. Let's not approach God that way. But like children, let's come before Him and say, Father, I accept the relationship that You've created with me. Your Son went to the cross so that I don't have to see myself as a slave anymore. I'm not outside the family. I belong to You. I'm not an orphan. Because of what You've done on the cross, I'm Your son, I'm Your daughter, and the inheritance is something that not only is mine, but You want me to experience it in this lifetime as I live as a human being on this earth. We loose it in the name of the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless the word to our hearts.